Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' Game 1 win over the Clippers and look ahead to Game 2. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco.
At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament, that was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, the Warriors come away with a Game 1 win, which was decisive. They win by 17 points, although at times in the game they were sloppy. There was a point in the game where the Clippers had the lead. The Warriors definitely turned the ball over a lot. They had 21 turnovers, but when push came to shove, they were able to get a great game out of Steph Curry with 38 points. He sets the record for most threes in the playoffs, in the history of the playoffs, and he had an 8 of 12 shooting game from three-point land in the game. So, when in doubt, count on Curry, I guess.
And he had 15 rebounds.
Yeah.
He was killing him on the boards. You know, Montrezl Harrell was doing his damage in the first half, but look at Steph getting offensive rebounds, you know, stuff like that. I mean, he was all over the place in Game 1. They don't have an answer for him defensively, I don't believe, unless you want to throw Patrick Beverley at him. And, you know, he's the human irritant. He's a problem in and of himself. But beyond that, this is a series where it's just a matter of if he's going to make the shots he's going to get. Because he's going to get the shots. And, starting off where he left off in the postseason last year in the regular season. This is a series I think should be pretty short. And I don't think there's not going to be a great deal of drama outside of the conflict with guys like Beverly and, you know, making sure KD keeps the technicals below 7 for the postseason.
Yeah, exactly. And definitely got ugly there with some of the arguing that was going on. In fact, I thought maybe you could have had a couple of Clippers run from the game the way they were arguing. And Beverly and, just going crazy at one point. And same with Lou Williams. They didn't get ejected at that point. But, the officials were really hearing it from the players.
Well, yeah, they were hearing it from the players. And they were letting the players say a lot. They were giving them a lot of leeway. And finally, Ed Molloy had enough. And he ran both Durant and Patrick Beverly. But I think they've got to send a message in Game 2 that they're not going to put up with as much. Because this is one time where I agree with Jeff Van Gundy. They got to stand up for themselves a little bit more. It got to the point where, although it shouldn't get to the point where you have to run players from both teams because you haven't handled the situation earlier in the game. Now, I do think that the Clippers had a legitimate beef on a non-call involving Lou Williams. I think he was fouled. But you got to let it go at some point. The Clippers didn't. And consequently, the Warriors stretched it out at the end of the first half, and they had control of the game from that point on. So even though the Clippers might have had a point, it worked to their detriment because they couldn't control their emotions. And then, in the second half, Beverly does what he does. So I think the referees have to send a message early in Game 2 that they're not going to put up with as much crap.
Well, you know these two teams are going to be physical with each other. And, the one area that the Warriors did have issues, I thought, was trying to be physical with Harrell. Because, he's getting positioning and he's getting easy shots under the basket. I would think that's something that the Warriors are looking at here in between games. How can we, get in front of him, get our body on him? He's a really strong guy. And not let him have some of those easy shots that he got.
Well, yeah, I think they did a better job in the second half than they did in the first half. I think it kind of surprised them a little bit. You know, they threw him Bogut for a few minutes, and I don't recall if he was actually going up against Harrell, but I think he did a nice job for a couple of minutes there, sort of stabilizing things in the middle. But, yeah, that's, you know, if you're going to have, for example, Draymond at center or Cousins at center, and Cousins had a difficult first game. He ends up fouling out in his first playoff game. It's one he'd like to forget. And there will be a time where Cousins is going to do more damage against the Clippers than he did game one. But there was some frustration on his part. And, you know, one thing about Harrell, he's relentless. He's going to keep going after the board. So, yeah, if you're Cousins, if you're Looney, if you're Draymond Green, if you're Bogut, focusing on keeping him off the boards is going to be, I think, a real emphasis. And with Lou Williams, I mean, you got to get the ball out of his hands. You know, when he goes one-on-one, he can break down anybody in this league. So you got to double him a couple of times, pinch him to the sidelines, things like that, and try to neutralize him a little bit more. And I think you'll see that, you know, in game two. Those are the two guys that really hurt them. I don't think they're guys that are going to put a scare in the Warriors per se, but if there are, probably those two.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this.
Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Your air conditioning system is a vital part of keeping your home a comfortable, happy, healthy place to be. A new or existing system is an important investment and will play a key role in your home energy expenses for years to come. Commercial and industrial customers also recognize Enviro's standards for excellence, which includes prompt and professional service. Enviro is known for its integrity and quality HVAC products and services. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air.
You did see, you know, somewhat of a strategy for the Clippers to just leave Draymond Green wide open at the three-point line. And the same thing with DeMarcus Cousins. And, yeah, Green did make a couple of those. And that's great to see that, you know, he was shooting the ball better. And he had a great first quarter just scoring the basketball. So, you know, maybe the Clippers, you know, maybe sleeping on him a little bit as an offensive player. And the Warriors and Draymond Green made him pay. I mean, he was definitely keyed up for this game.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, he's getting better arc on his three-point shots. You know, when he misses, shots are flat, and they've been flat for much of the season. Shot better in the second half of the regular season. But, you know, if Draymond had a reliable mid-range jumper, just think how that would open things up in his game as well. And he actually did make one at the free-throw line, and he gestured back to Doc Rivers. And Rivers just kind of shrugged, like, you know, whatever you do, a person's going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave Steph alone. I'm not going to leave Clay alone. I'm not going to leave KD alone. I might leave Cousins alone for three, but otherwise, yeah, Draymond, you're going to get those shots if you want them. And, of course, the key with Draymond is he doesn't want to take them early in the clock. He wants to see what develops in the half-court offense. You'd much rather have KD on the low block taking a shot, and he's getting mismatches galore. You know, you'd much rather have that, but push comes to shove. It's nice to know that Draymond can make a couple of those. And if he does that, if he's able to shoot 35-40% of the postseason, it's curtains for the rest of the NBA because they're kind of leave him alone. If he's making his shot, there are no other answers. And I think you'll see Cousins have a better game in game two as well.
Yeah, Doc Rivers actually was saying that he was upset that many times during the game Steph Curry was left alone, you know, just coming off screens. His guys didn't do a good enough job of trying to track Curry. And, you know, a lot of teams have a problem with that because Curry finds ways to get open. And he was hitting all kinds of acrobatic shots. But, you know, Doc Rivers is saying, hey, we just have to do a better job. And he tried to do, you know, something defensively that I don't know that he'll stick with in going with Gilgeous Alexander on Curry a lot and having Beverly on Durant. You know, he doesn't have enough Beverleys. He probably needs like three Beverleys to try to defend against this. But I don't know that any of his strategy really is going to work because, you know, Curry just finds ways to get open.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about the benefit of experience as well as ability with Curry going up against Gilgeous Alexander. I mean, that's kind of a mismatch, especially when it comes to experience and savviness. So I don't know what else the Clippers can do. They'll probably try to get another trade of Beverly for Durant, get them both run for the game. They'll try to do that again, but I don't think KD is going to go for the bait this time. He said post game, I can control myself. And I suppose he can. It's just, a little disturbing that you get two technicals in game one of the postseason. It's funny you even have to worry about a player getting seven technicals in the short postseason, but that's the way it is. I don't think it's a major concern for Durant. Like I said, I don't think he's going to take the bait from Beverly going forward. They know what he's trying to do. They actually do respect the guy and his game, and these guys know each other. It's just in the heat of competition. Well, that's another story. Things are going to get hyped up, especially when they go back to L.A. But I don't know what else the Clippers can do. It's certainly not a strategy to leave Curry alone. It's just that there are a couple times they couldn't fight around screens. And you notice that Rivers immediately called timeout a couple of times after those instances. So they'll try to do a better job of that. And, that might leave Clay with more opportunities. He didn't shoot particularly well in game one, but he's capable of coming back and having a big game. So it's whack-a-mole for the Clippers, for sure. I told you, before the regular season ended, that if it got down to the Warriors and the Clippers in the first round of the series, I felt like the Warriors were going to sweep them. And I still feel that way. And why wouldn't I? They haven't lost them yet.
Right, after one game anyway. But
pretty convincing. It's set up. The dominoes fell pretty much like the Warriors wanted, except for if they beat the Clippers, the possibility of facing Houston in round two.
Right, yeah, that did change things around. For Steve Kerr, he's always kind of looking at improving, and he was a little disappointed with the turnovers I mentioned earlier, the 21 of them, and especially that there were quite a few sloppy ones. I mean, that always gets to Kerr, and I know that's something that he's been talking to the team about in the off day.
He's been talking to the team about that for 5 years, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it kind of comes and goes. That's funny. I forget which game it was, but he said to them, let's try to get two turnovers or less in the first quarter, and they did it. It was a number like, let's keep it under five, and they did. And they go back to the huddle, and he says, gee, all I have to do is ask? I think, a little bit hyped up in the first quarter of the playoff series. I mean, the Clippers, I don't think were even in that game if not for the Warrior turnovers in the first half. But they kind of put a clamp on that in the second half. And, I think when they put their minds to it, they can play pretty clean basketball. But when you're at home, when you get your momentum going and you want to put on a show for the fans, certainly Steph Curry falls in that category, and one reason why the fans love him. Sometimes you're making silly passes. Curry has a tendency to do that. Draymond Green has a tendency to do that. Durant was trying to throw hook passes, got intercepted a couple of times. You just have to be aware of that. When they're hopping, when the ball is hopping and they're moving it around, usually it's very tough for the defense. But when you do that, when there are a lot of touches, a lot of passes, that increases the chances of turnovers. So it's always the case with Kerr and the Warriors. They know they're going to have a few more turnovers maybe than the average team. But what kind of turnovers? And you mentioned the sloppy ones, and if they could cut down on those by a few, it makes it even more difficult for the Clippers.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
You mentioned earlier about DeMarcus Cousins fouling out, but I don't think that Steve Kerr intends on having him play the same type of minutes that he did in the regular season. And maybe it has something to do with the matchup against the Clippers, but You know, he was going with the Hamptons five, and I think he's going to count a lot more on Iguodala, you know, in this series and in the playoffs than he was during the regular season, and same with Livingston, and they're going to have their minutes boosted. But, you know, even Kevon Looney, he had a really good game. I was looking at the plus minuses, and he had a plus 30. I mean, obviously, he played really well defensively. He got some minutes, so I'm not sure how that's going to affect Cousins, because you know that he probably will get upset if he's not getting his minutes, because he wants to be a major contributor.
Oh, sure. And, you know, there'll be a game where he is. I don't have any doubt about that. But, you know, as far as the minutes, and the trust level and the experience, and this is the way they play it every year. They have a plan. They have a schedule on how much they want to play Iguodala, Livingston, guys like that. We're getting toward the end of their careers. You want to make sure they're fresh for the playoffs. My goodness, Iguodala especially looked fresh in game one. That, you know, playoffs, Andre is a whole different kind of player than one we see in the regular season. So, you know, that's the drill that they've run for 5 years now to great effect. And how about Iguodala? You know, a couple of times, I believe it was Gallinari one time, might have been Zubac another time, where he got the strip. And
yeah.
Then the ball's going the other way, and it's nighty-night.
Yeah, I mean, his defense, I mean, it just makes such a difference, the strips that they're getting, you know, and they're playing just so much harder on defense. I mean, it's pretty obvious that they have flipped the switch as far as that is concerned. And everybody wonders, you know, can they do that? And they've done it before. And really, this year especially, you know, there have been some real clunkers that they've played at home. But, you know, so far, looking at the way they had the intensity going defensively against the Clippers, it looks like they're going to, you know, play that way during the postseason.
I was a little worried about the switch for a while. Was the wiring bad? You know, because it wasn't working sometimes when they're trying to flip that switch. You had to get the plate off and see if maybe the splice cap was too small, and you maybe had some water or some sort of damage like that, and you were getting a short. But the switch is fine. And we saw that, and we've mentioned in the podcast the last couple of weeks of the regular season, you saw them try to ramp up the defensive effort, and they did, and they played much better. Their numbers were much better. Down the stretch, except for the very last game, and it didn't really matter. So it's comforting, I'm sure, for Steve Kerr to know it's there. I don't think he worried a whole lot about it. I think they know these guys pretty well now. These guys know themselves pretty well now. And, you know, you're going to see that from time to time this year where they're going to have a big quarter because it started at the defensive end. They all know that. That's where the energy comes. That's where the you know, transition threes that get the crowd all hyped up. That's where it all originates from. And once they get going, a team is devastated. And it happened very quickly at the end of the second quarter and end of the third quarter for the Warriors in game one. I look for more of that against the Clippers. Obviously, it's going to be a bigger challenge once they move on, and I assume they will, against a team like Houston or Portland. But, you know, I think the same premise. If they can get good stretches in each half of, you know, 5 or 6 minutes of really tough defense, that's where they really do their damage and they really stretch out the lead.
Back with more Dubs OT in just a moment.
Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air.
You know, speaking of Houston and Portland, both of those teams were able to win on Sunday. And, you know, it was kind of like getting back to the chalk on Sunday. The teams that were supposed to win were winning. Meanwhile, on Saturday, with the Warriors notwithstanding, the other games were upsets. I mean, Brooklyn winning over Philadelphia and, you know, the Nuggets losing to San Antonio. And really the biggest shocker, I thought, was Orlando beating Toronto, the number two seed. I mean, Toronto all season looked like a championship contender, and then they dropped the first game to Orlando. That was pretty surprising.
You know what? I'm going to go outside the sport for a little bit and You know, for some of these guys, they're going to say, hey, Tiger came back and won a major, so we can do this, right? Yeah, we're pretty healthy. We're capable of doing this. We're in this league. Tiger was on an operating table a few times, not to mention his other problems. Tiger wasn't even sure he was coming back, and he did, and he wins the Masters. So, you know, if you're Orlando, and Orlando's not far from Tiger's home, you know, they're really thinking, hey, you know, why not us too? Truly, whatever you think of Tiger, in a sports sense, in a golf sense, it's truly an inspiring story. Steph Curry tweeted out about it as well today, and he said, I hope you'll let me hold one of those green jackets. And we know how Steph is into golf. I don't think, by the way, you know I say that, I still don't worry about Toronto. I know it's cold there, I worry about that, but other than that... You sent me a screenshot. Was that your car?
Yeah, well, we should explain. I'm actually here covering the NBA playoffs with TNT as a field producer and ended up with this series somehow. But, yeah, I was in my car, and I looked at the thermometer, and it said 3 degrees. And then I realized, I mean, it hit me. I'm like, wait a minute, that's Celsius. But wait a minute, that's still cold. I mean, I always double it and add 30, so that's 6 plus 30. It was 36 degrees. I mean, that's crazy.
3 degrees is not good anyway. You slice it.
Right.
They're singing "When Will I See You Again," the big hit from the 1970s. Other than that, I don't like 3 degrees. I'll tell you a short story because when I actually made the mistake in my younger days when I was coming out of college of moving from Santa Barbara to Salt Lake City. Okay, it was an all news station. It was a bigger market, so I thought this is a nice little jump for somebody who's, you know, like 25 years old. And the first morning I get up, this is right before Christmas, I turn on the station that I'm going to work at, and I hear the anchor say, right now in downtown Salt Lake City, it's 3 degrees and overcast. Okay, what have I done here? So that's what it reminded me of, and it didn't get above freezing for 3 months. And I thought to myself, you know, when can I get back to California? Salt Lake's a lonely town when you're the only surfer boy around, if I can paraphrase another song. So I know that's got to be jarring for you. Thank goodness you're in an arena anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's mid-April. It's just hard to believe when you think about that. But yeah, but you got the Warriors and the Clippers, the California series, and with all these series, they're drawn out so much, Ray, because you get a lot of time off, not between games 1 and 2, because game 2 is Monday night against the Clippers, but then 2 days off. On to L.A., 2 days off in L.A., and then finally game 4 in L.A., that'll be on Sunday, next Sunday. So that's a week from now as we sit here talking about this. It's just so drawn out, and you know, it's good for players to get the rest, but they must get kind of antsy in between games too.
Oh, well, antsy, sure, but you're in L.A., and that's, you've given another reason why the Warriors much prefer to play the Clippers in the first round of the playoffs. A little easier opponent, I think. Although, you know, the Clippers have been a pleasant surprise this year as they remade their roster, but heck, you're in L.A. Now, we have seen the Warriors and the effect of Sunset Boulevard in L.A. before. So you worry about that a little bit, but, you know, those were in the regular season. And there were games, there were some Dramamine games in there, you know, a couple of really terrible efforts against the Lakers, for example. But this is the playoffs. I don't worry about it too much. I think for the players, this is as close to a vacation as you're going to get in the postseason, and they know that it's going to get to be more of a grind after this. So, hey, any of those days off at this point, especially for the veteran players, are appreciated. You know, just keep it between the lines.
All right, Ray. Well, we'll get back together again next week. And meanwhile, I mean, our sports viewing has really jumped up. I mean, it's just crazy when you think about watching the Masters, as you mentioned, with Tiger Woods. You got the Giants playing. They almost got no hit on Sunday. You've got the Sharks in the playoffs. You got the Warriors. I mean, it's just mind-boggling how much you can watch, how many hours of sports if you're a Bay Area sports fan right now. It's pretty crazy.
It's a great time of the year, but the Warriors top the list. And by the way, if you haven't got a chance to check it out, interview with the Warriors on 60 Minutes tonight. And I think it was John Wertheim who did the interview with Steve Kerr individually. And then he had 5 players, Iguodala, Livingston, Clay, Curry, and Durant, all sitting down at the practice facility. And at one point, Wertheim asked a question, and I'm paraphrasing here, about how do you handle all the conflicts? And Durant said, you looking at me? And Wertheim later said, well, yeah, I kind of was.
Right.
Then they played the, you know, the clip of the post-game rant that he went on a few months ago that we talked at length about. And, you know, I mean, and it talks about the things that could take down the Warriors or ego or fatigue or things like that. And they mentioned, for example, some of the bad losses at home this year. But Iguodala pointed out what we pointed out numerous times. When you're in the postseason and you're possibly going to five straight finals, you're playing all those postseason games, the equivalent of a full season of playoff games. And as Iguodala pointed out, you've got a shorter offseason as well. And that really takes a toll on the older players, like Iguodala. It takes a toll on everybody. But the veteran players really have to manage, you know, their energy level. And I think that's one of the reasons you see it. You've got a short offseason, you know, short time to reset the batteries, and that's going to lead to inconsistent efforts. But they did enough. They got the top seed. No, they would not have the home court advantage against the team you're looking at, Toronto. So I guess I should root for Orlando long-term. And, of course, Milwaukee had a great year, and they got the best record in the league. And that will be a tough playoff series if they've got to win a couple in Milwaukee, for sure, if it gets to that point. But I think, all in all, despite all the drama and controversy, they've ended up in a good place mentally and physically to start these playoffs.
Absolutely. Great game one. We'll see what happens in game two and beyond, and we'll talk about it next week. Thanks a lot, Ray.
Sounds good, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.